Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
You actually recording this time
when
you
play the open? I'm actually recording this time when I hit the open, yes.
He just hits the open and starts going, and it's like, you're going to hit record at some point, Scott?
Okay, we got 2 seconds into the open before I went, oh, might help if I actually hit record, stop it, and then you start making fun of me.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's just do the Adam and Eve promo. Go to adamandeve.com. Christmas time's coming up. Go get something to stick up your butt, stick up somebody else's butt, stick on a cunt, or stick your dick in, or is there anything else we can stick?
No, don't use that word.
What, stick?
No.
But?
The C word, don't. Not that one.
What's wrong with cunt?
Go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code STATIC, get 50% off one item.
Free shipping in the U.S.
Free shipping in the U.S., 3 free DVDs, and a mystery gift so mysterious and sexy, we're not even allowed to talk about it.
See, that's why it's perfect for Christmas. It's like a Christmas gift you get from adamandeve.com
just
almost.
Just think of what you can buy your grandmother.
Exactly. Or if it's something you don't want, you just re-gift it to her. Yeah, I saw you just make that ew face at the re-gifting of sex toys.
See, I...
Is this why it's so hard to be my friend?
Do you know how much I would love to order something for my stepmother like that and just wrap it up? Not put it in a box or anything, just like a huge double-ended dildo and just wrap it up.
So the package has the shape.
And she's like, oh, he must have gotten me, you know, a Hillshire Farm sausage or something for... And then, you know, Christmas morning comes around and my little 5-year-old nephew is there and my other nephew and my niece and all the kids are there. And she just rips one little bit off the end of this. And yeah, I think that'd be hilarious. I'm probably the only one in my family that would think that's hilarious, but I think it's hilarious.
All right. Well, our actual topic tonight is no topic.
And everything.
We're doing another random episode because we got a bunch of little things we want to talk about that we don't think any of them can sustain a complete episode with.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like a short takes, but we're calling it a random.
Yeah.
Because we really don't have a structure for
tonight. And to tell you the truth, freeballing just doesn't fit this show because we're kind of freeballing every episode.
We're just a slightly more focused freeballing normally.
Exactly. Let's start, Josh, with you just showed me probably one of the most horrendous trailers that I've seen in a while.
Before we tell them what it was, did you think this trailer was more offensive to you as a fan of this material than the Dark Shadows trailer was to me?
Yes.
It actually offended you more than the Dark Shadows trailer.
Because
those that
me.
Listen to Radiodrome knows how much I went the fuck off on that.
Yes, and this... Watching this trailer and seeing it from a different point of view, I understand where you're coming from with Dark Shadows now. I apologize.
That's just so offensive that everything is wrong.
I apologize that I jumped down your throat when we discussed that movie. And here it is, right here on recording. I apologize. I still think you overreacted, but I understand where you're coming from. And the book that this movie is based on is one of the best books I've ever actually read.
You said the audiobook you liked
more. The audiobook I liked even more. And what we're talking about is the excellent book and audio play by Max Brooks, World War Z.
And the trailer for the horrendous looking movie that has, I haven't even read the book. I only know what it's about.
Right.
And I see nothing whatsoever from what I know the plot of the book is to what is in that trailer.
Yeah, nothing in common. It's as if they went, okay, let's take the title. Here's all the rest of this really good material that we could base a great screenplay off of and really be the first film in a long time to take a new, fresh look at the zombie
genre.
You know, kind of like I Am Legend tried to, where they went, okay, they're zombies, but they're vampires, but they're zombies, and it's kind of based on the original material and kind of not, and here's something new. And that, you know, that kind of tried. Well, World War Z, the book, is really the only one I've found that takes place after everything has happened.
And it, am I not wrong that there's no central character?
No, there really isn't a central character at all.
Because, that's what I read that Paramount had an issue with. It's the same reason, and I'm not changing topics, that before Star Trek Enterprise came out, there was that anthology series discussed that why don't we just have, you know, hour-long episodes that take place all throughout Star Trek continuity. You know, we can have a Klingon episode, a Romulan episode, a classic episode, a next-gen episode. And Paramount, people need a central character. They need a character to root for. They have to have a character to identify with. That was their problem with the Book of World War Z. There is not a character.
See, the central character in World War Z, there are two. There's the zombie, or Z, which, you know, it's just like referring to in Vietnam, they call it Charlie.
Yeah.
They call it something very similar in World War Z, and the deal with that is there. So the zombie as a generic character is one of the central characters. The other central character that's there is humanity as a freaking whole.
But that's Paramount's point. There's no Brad Pitt. We want to follow a single character through his adventures in this story. And that's what they think the audience needs. And I say there's already been a movie that proves why that's bullshit, Scott.
Really?
Contagion.
Okay.
That Contagion movie by Steven Soderbergh last year with Matt Damon and all
right.
that.
Right.
That movie had no central character.
Okay.
Arguably, Matt Damon was sort of a central character, but not really. That was a movie that took place all over the globe with all these different, the definition of an ensemble cast. There was really no ostensive main character in that film.
And see,
that's what I was hoping World War Z was going to be like.
Sure, and World War Z, with the way the book's written and with the source material, you have a grand opportunity to say, all right, let's get these actors, these big actors, and let's throw them all in the movie. You know, like you said, the perfect ensemble cast. Here is source material and what I was hoping would be a screenplay tailor-made for that kind of thing. And I think audiences, on the whole, are smart enough now that we can, I mean, you know, you look at Ocean's 11. Yeah, Danny Ocean's your central character, sort of.
Ostensibly.
But you've got all of these, you've got his 11 around him.
10 around him.
10 around him. Well, 11 in the later movies and then 12.
I have not seen any of the sequels.
You don't have to. But nonetheless, you've got his 10 around him that each have their own little story that is just as engrossing, if not more so in many cases, than Danny Ocean and Tess.
Well, there's that weird thing about, you often see this in comic books where the main character is the least interesting one. His supporting cast has got far more interesting backstories and adventures than the main character does. And I think that's what you're alluding to.
Yeah, and well, let's take a look at a couple of main characters from comic books that even I know. Superman and Batman. Superman is a goody-two-shoes.
He's two-dimensional.
He's not
making a comic book on a page pun.
Yeah, he's paper thin.
I see what you did there.
He's a paper thin character, Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, with all the power in the world, who chooses to allow man to screw up the world so that he has something to do. Where do you go with the perfect Boy Scout?
Exactly.
You don't. Batman. Tragic character. Again, and I'm going to get hate mail for this. He's a little bit less thin than Superman because of that tragic side and because of that internal battle that he has. But for the most part, let's be honest. Mommy and Daddy were killed. This fucked up kid goes after justice, being a big scary knight.
There's
character.
Not a lot of depth.
That's it. And
But then you've got his supporting cast.
You've got probably the best character, I think, ever in comics. The Joker. This completely mysterious, no backstory. God only knows where he comes from, but he's extremely intriguing. And you were going to mention who?
I was going to, if with Batman's Rogues Gallery or his supporting cast, I think Barbara Gordon as Batgirl is far more fascinating, sure. especially after she gets shot in the spine by the Joker and when is paralyzed.
When she becomes Oracle. Oracle. Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's a far, far more fascinating character than Bat. Hell, I think any of the Robins after Dick Grayson, after he became Nightwing, even that whiny little bitch Jason Todd had more depth to him. That's the way I look at it.
Definitely. But another short little thing. There is an animated version of, greatest Batman story ever written.
Dark Knight Returns. I've seen part one. It's actually relatively accurate.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, if you guys ever want to see the 80s encapsulated...
Well, and it takes place in the 80s, too. They walk past a video store at one point that has laser discs on the sign, and there's a whole bunch of, like, Watchmen number one, Sandman number one, Swamp Thing 21, and whatnot on the shelf at a convenience store.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just going to be really pissed if part two cuts Green Arrow out, because he's not in the trailer at all. And without ruining the plot twist, Green Arrow plays a major role in the ending of Dark Knight Returns.
Right. But yeah, part one is beautiful, and I watched it the other night, and I was just like, oh, this just drips with 80s-ness. I love it. But
on a quick note about that,
sure,
I have no clue how that movie is rated for kids. Me either. That thing is violent as hell. I mean, he kills people. There's all this blood. There's an alluded to of rape. And
right.
It's like, this is not a kid's Batman movie. This is not like Batman the Animated Series, people.
Right.
I don't understand how this was rated G.
But it's a comic book, and they're for kids.
I know, but I was expecting that, okay, it's G-rated, and then I'm like, they're going to edit out the violence.
Yeah.
I'm like, this but thing's no. violent as hell.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to part two.
There's a child killing in it too. Even
yeah. Oh yeah.
I can't believe they left all that in. I'm happy they did. I just didn't think it was going
to
happen.
That's it. That's it. That's how we get the Serbian film to have a nice G rating. Just animate it. Don't change anything.
It's
Don't
for
change
kids.
The shots. Just animate it. No more porn.
God, I hate that movie. But all right, back to World War Z.
Now,
a little bit of backstory on the production. Okay, Max Brooks wrote the book that you liked so much.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, that's the son of Mel Brooks.
Yes. Well, Max Brooks also wrote the screenplay for World War Z and is its director. So this was completely fucked up by its own creator in every way. And this has such a troubled production. Brad Pitt has quit. He refuses to do reshoots. He's basically told them, go ahead, violate my contract. He is not on speaking terms with Max Brooks anymore because of this movie. And you can see his performance in the trailer. Brad Pitt is in total I don't give a fuck mode.
And they're reshooting.
This is probably the worst performance of Brad Pitt I've seen since 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Because he was on that in 87, and he was in I don't give a fuck mode then too. Okay. He's terrible looking in this.
And I don't dislike Brad Pitt.
I think Brad Pitt can be a brilliant actor in the right role. And it just seems like he just wants to get this movie over with so he can forget he made it.
But yeah, if you want to see Brad Pitt as a good actor, Legend of the Fall, 7.
Fight Club.
He was very good in 7. He was very good in Fight Club. This, yeah, he's phoning it in.
Not that Meet Jack Death or Joe Death or whatever.
Meet Joe Black.
He was in total not give a fuck mode in that.
Too. Yeah, he phoned that one in too. But this is definitely a phoner by Brad Pitt, and it's a shame because you're seeing an author.
Well, see, I don't think it's a phoner by him.
Okay.
I think it's the opposite. I think you can see he's pissed that he does not want to be in this film. I think that's different than phoning it in. That he does not want to be in this movie.
Okay.
And he produced it, by the way.
But Paramount is reshooting, what, like 40% of it?
They said 40 to 60% of the movie will be reshot.
Oh, Jesus.
And they're throwing another couple of $100 million at it. So they're basically remaking the movie that they've already made.
Now, you compared it to another film that was supposed to come out this summer and didn't.
G.I. Joe Retaliation.
There you go, yeah.
Which, okay, it was a very poorly guarded secret that Duke dies. In the first few minutes of G.I. Joe Retaliation.
As he should, it's Channing Tatum.
Right. And Channing Tatum as Duke was one of the worst things about the first film, which was that, fucking horrendous.
And wasn't G.I. Joe.
But G.I. Joe Retaliation, judging from the trailer, it looked like they were getting it right. It looked action-packed. It looked funny where it was supposed to be funny. It looked like fucking G.I. Joe.
And you know what else it looked like? A return of Bruce Willis.
Oh, Bruce Willis as the original G.I. Joe with a kung fu grip, by the way.
Exactly. But, I mean, it looked like he really put his heart into it, and
he was having fun, is what it looked
like.
Yeah,
he was having fun.
And then test audiences. Test audiences didn't like the fact that Duke died. They were really entrenched with Channing Tatum's character. So because test audiences liked Duke, Paramount pulled the movie 2 weeks before its release date. They're going to reshoot over 40% of the film. Not only does Duke live now, he's now a main character. Ugh. They've called The Rock and Bruce Willis and everyone back for reshoots. They've thrown another $150 million at this. And while they're at it, they said, might as well do a post-conversion 3D on it too.
Ow.
So G.I. Joe Retaliation, if Paramount is even the... if their marketing department has any sway at all, they will pull an Exorcist the Beginning on the DVDs and release the original cut and the theatrical cut.
If they do the smart thing.
If they do the smart thing, because I know everyone is going to, after they see this in the theater and go, this is awful, they're going to want to see the original cut to go, would it have been as awful without Channing Tatum?
I already want to see the original cut.
Me too. Trust me. I got a lot of connections on the bootleg circuit. I can't find a fucking copy. And I'm not saying that with ego, that if I can't find it, it's not out there. I'm saying I've got some connections pretty high up in the studio systems that get me bootlegs. I can't get a hold of the original cut.
Wow.
They've got that original cut locked down.
Really locked down.
Basically, the only people that have seen it are studio executives and those test audiences that love Channing Tatum.
Well, let's switch gears here because
sorry, I'm just
we don't, you know. There we go.
And you're getting me pissed.
I don't mean to. I'm sorry.
And you're getting me mad, goddamn. Well, I want one more thing about the Max Brooks thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so how does the creator fuck up his own production like that? It's the same thing with, remember that god-awful Time Machine movie from late 90s, early 2000s, the one with Guy Pearce? The one with Jeremy Irons as the villain.
Yeah, and what's-his-face is the library computer, yeah.
Yeah, Orlando Jones.
Thank you, Orlando Jones, yeah.
Okay, that movie was almost as troubled as World War Z. Massive reshoots. All the Jeremy Irons stuff was added months after by a different director.
Which, don't get me wrong, I love Jeremy Irons.
He was absolutely wrong for that
part. But he was wrong for that part.
And the movie was god-awful. Do you know who directed that?
Who?
Simon Wells, the great-grandson of H.G. Wells. Way to keep the family legacy going. Fuck up your great-grandfather, one of his most iconic stories of all time.
That's a shame.
That's why it's almost like the Max Brooks thing of fucking up your own creation. Simon Wells, you fucked up your own Bloodlines creation. Way to fucking go, asshole.
Well, it would be like one of the Stokers coming in and remaking a Dracula movie based.
Yeah, and you just kind of, what, you know, how do you, as a, you're a Wells, how do you have no respect for your grandfather's work?
Exactly.
How do you not give such a not shit that you make that piece of garbage?
Cash.
Yeah, he just did the little money
cash.
Finger rub
so,
thing.
Excuse me. Okay, let's switch gears. It's December. It's snowy. It's blustery. It's crappy cold Wisconsin. Outside. We're in Wisconsin. Yeah, brilliant on our part. at least it's not Texas.
Well, who knows, by the time this airs, they may not be part of the United States. They don't want to be.
Go ahead. I dare them. I posted on a while back, I posted on Facebook. I said, I realized that in one of the episodes of Lost in the Static, I predicted that within the next 50 years, there would be a revolution in this country.
You were wrong on the time frame,
I didn't realize that people would be standing up and proving me right so quickly.
Well, see, my thing, and if this doesn't happen in real life, I think this would make a great movie. You let all these states that want to secede do it, okay? And then we invade them and make them annexed United States states again, but all the people that tried to secede are no longer have the rights of United States citizens.
No, that's
brilliant.
You don't make them states. You allow them to secede, you invade and take over them, and keep them as held United States territories.
Thank you. Yes.
So that, you know, they end up like Puerto Rico or Guam or bits of the Philippines or, you know, all of these other little things.
Sort of like
that
the U.S. light.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? You get to enjoy some freedom.
But not as much because...
But you don't get to vote and you don't get a true legal system.
The thing I love about all these secessionists are... These are the people that are standing up. They're like, we're a true patriot. That's why we're leaving the country.
That's why you're committing treason.
No, yeah. That's the other thing, Scott. As you pointed out, secession is a treasonous offense punishable by death.
Yeah.
All the people that signed this secession petition, technically Obama can execute them now. They don't even get trials.
That's right. Treason is a
trial. I want to see Obama step up. It's not like he's got to worry about getting reelected. let's execute some cowards. Let's boil some fuckers in oil. I want beheadings back, goddammit. And we televise it.
He's walking down the street surrounded by Marines in their dress blues listening to 50 Cent in the club.
No. His new theme song is New Jack Hustler from Ice-T.
There we go. But nonetheless, it's...
little treason, 2 minute political rant.
Treason is, or I'm sorry, threats of secession or even organizing in order to secede within the United States is a treasonous crime. It falls under.
It's high, one of the most heinous crimes.
It's high treason. That's the same as.
Trying to assassinate the president.
No, it's actually further up the deal because they don't get a trial at that point. If the U.S. government chooses to pursue this, a trial is now no longer necessary. They are simply
enemies of
the state. And so I say if you want to secede or threaten secession and prove that you're a true patriot.
he just hit himself on the head.
Yeah,
you got to remember, people can't see you, Scott.
I know, but I'm hoping they could hear that. But nonetheless, please stand up. Sign something, organize, buy a whole crap load of arms at Walmart, please. And then go to, what, is there anything interesting in North Dakota? I'm sure there's something interesting in North Dakota.
The National Museum of Trees.
Utah. Go to Utah.
Nobody wants Utah as it is.
Actually, Utah, if we could simply make Utah, the entire state, a national park, that would rock. There are some beautiful rock formations. There's some great water out there. The natural beauty out there is great. The people, on the other hand, and I'm not just talking about the Mormons. In fact, I'm not talking about most Mormons. Most Mormons I've met are really, really nice people. Most.
And most of them voted against Romney, too.
I know. But nonetheless, so there we go. Go to Utah or New Mexico. Yeah, New Mexico is even better. There really isn't much in New Mexico. Just go down to New Mexico.
It's basically old Mexico anyway.
Well, you know, it's an excuse for people. They made New Mexico so that they could bring back old Mexico and people would like it better.
No, see, what I think would be funny, let's say Texas does secede.
Okay.
And we do the invasion thing. Wouldn't it be funny to see Texans having to try and get smuggled across the border? You know, that thing that they hate so much? I just think that'd be funny.
Here's what if they did try to secede, number one, they're going to have to renegotiate their power rights. They're going to have to renegotiate
Texas
all
is
their
not
utilities.
It isn't you self-sustaining can't anymore. Sustain it. And right. Then what about all the people that don't? Are you going to force out all the people who are like, oh, you're an Obama backer. Get the fuck out of my new Texan country.
Yeah. Yeah, they would. That's what they're talking about.
You know
so,
what?
Go ahead.
Scott, I see a really funny movie, a really satire dark comedy movie out of this. Somebody needs to hire me to write this.
God Bless America Part 2.
A remake of the Joe Dante, the Second Civil War.
Or Django.
Fuck you.
Okay. Anyway.
All right. Do you want to talk about something a little lighter?
I do. What do you... first off, and this is real quick, I just got to say that I have talked to quite a few Canadian fans lately. I don't know what it is about the Canadians, but they like me. And I got to say, Canada is really awesome.
Well, did you see that you were recently on the comments on Brad's site?
No, I didn't. What?
That you were recently voted sexier voiced than Brad, and they even apologized. Brad, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God, no.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'll show you after the show.
Hi, fans. How you doing? It's good to talk to you. Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much. Seriously, thank you all very, very much. And I'll have to go on to Radiodrome and thank them. Make sure Brad's there.
Yeah, then Brad hangs up.
No, I think he'd take it. I think he'd take it well.
But no, I mean, I got nothing against Canada. I mean, they're already a big, you know, American state anyway.
No, they're not. No, take that. I'm. You've never been to Canada. Okay, you can't simply go, oh, it's American light, like everybody in Southern California does. No, they're not. They are a very, very, there are some amazingly independently Canadian things. And I gotta say, number one, awesome land.
Hockey.
Beavers. Hockey's enjoyed here.
Beavers. This maple syrup. I'm just throwing out all the stereotypes right
okay,
away.
Number one, they're running out of maple syrup, so that's gone. The beavers.
Or as Dustin Kidd from Geek Juice puts it, he just calls it sticky tree blood.
Exactly. And as for Canadian beaver, yeah, there's some good stuff up there. I can't really fight that one. But I just want to say that I've gotten a lot of support from Canadian listeners and another pagan podcast has too.
But there's a lot they've given us a lot of shit too, Tom Green.
Oh yeah. Well, they don't even
Tom Canada's to blame for Tom Green.
They don't claim Tom Green.
Doesn't matter, he claims them.
I know, but in which case I'm a Honduran.
You know, James Cameron, although he's only shit now, but he used to be good.
He used to be really good. And he's still not bad.
He's Michael Bay bad to me.
No, he's not.
Yes,
no,
yes. He's not James Michael Cameron's Bay. Michael
no,
Bay.
No, he is not.
Yes, he is.
No, he is not.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, look, they did give us Celine Dion.
I still say Tom Green's worse.
Somebody owes me some Blue Jays tickets simply because Celine Dion exists.
Well, do you want to talk about something a little lighter?
Sure.
Like breakfast cereals?
But nonetheless, thank you, Canadians. Love you. Breakfast cereals.
We weren't sure we could get a whole episode of breakfast cereals, but we both love breakfast cereals our whole lives, and we wanted to talk about them.
Crunchy, happy, weedy sugar stuffs? Oh, yeah.
Well, and then I was just telling you while you were eating before we did the show about my blueberry experiment that did not work the way I intended.
Yeah.
Let me explain to the audience. My blueberry experiment was, okay, the blueberry turns the milk blue. Okay, so I wanted to find out how many boxes I had to eat to turn my pea blue. So after 3 boxes in about a day and a half to 2 days, it was not turning my pea blue, but it turned my poop green. That's not the reaction I wanted. I was hoping for blue pea, not green poop.
The food coloring that they use in blue in boop in
blueberry.
I almost said the food coloring they use in boobies.
It's not food. Well, it is edible.
How awesome would that be? Feed your baby green milk. The food coloring they use in blueberry is a solid food coloring. It's not liquid. So it doesn't process out through your urine. It processes out through the solid waste factory. That's why it's going to change your poop color and not your pee, for one.
Well, okay, if blueberry makes my poop green, what color would Frankenberry have made it? Would it have been red-tinted?
Yes, it would, actually. Here's something you can try. Do you like the Fiery Hot Cheetos?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I just like Cheetos.
Okay, well, if you can...
Can't stand the puffy kind.
The Cheeto Cheetos don't work, but the Fiery Hot Cheetos will turn your poop a bright red. If you eat like, does Nathan like the hot foods?
I'm not sure.
That would be an experiment. Hey, Dad, come in and look at this.
Well, see. Okay, one thing I want to bitch about with modern day breakfast cereals right now.
Yeah.
I think it is un-goddamn fair that I can only get Frankenberry and Booberry in September and October. That's bullshit. Those should be year-round cereals, the same as Count Chocula. Why is Count Chocula the only monster cereal that's year-round?
Did my chair hurt you?
I'm getting mad.
You're punching my chair.
All right. Well, why can I only get those for 2 months a year?
I don't know. I think it is a shame too. I'm not a fan of any.
Love the monster cereals.
I'm about to lose fans, but I am not a fan of any of the monster cereals. They're cool.
Fruit Brute sucked, and so did Yummy Mummy. That's why they don't exist anymore.
Look, no, actually, that's not true. It's true they don't exist anymore. But I was a Fruity Pebbles fan.
I love Fruity Pebbles.
I was also a Choco Pebbles fan. Cocoa Pebbles. Thank you.
I like Cocoa Pebbles as well.
I like Cocoa Pebbles. I like Fruity Pebbles. At my grandmother's farm, she had a box unopened of Fruit Brute.
Did you grab it?
Oh, yeah.
Is it still here?
Ate it all.
You're an idiot.
It was good.
You're a moron.
I am a moron. I was also a young teenager. You're an idiot. At the time.
Do you know what that would be worth on eBay today?
Yes, I do. And I trust me, I'm ashamed of it, but I ate the box Fruit Brute. It was really good.
Did you even keep the box?
Nope.
Probably not.
No. Nope. Used it to start a fire.
Idiot.
I didn't know. It was my grandmother was gone. I was taking care of the farm because she was in hospice care and all of that, and I wasn't really allowed at the time by my dad to change the farm in any way, shape, or form. So here I am with barely any furniture in the place and not much food, and like I said, I was rather young at the time, so didn't have a whole lot of money, spent time taking care of the farm as best I could, but one does eventually run out of money, and so it's a disease we have today.
Well,
but nonetheless, I was looking through, let's see here, I ate two cans of pineapple slices, both of them dated 1977.
Okay. I know you didn't mean it like this.
Right.
Can we wrap that back into Fruit Loops with the toucan?
Toucans. But anyway,
yes,
I ate the box of Fruit Brute. They also had, she had a classic box of Alphabits, which you know I love Alphabits.
Which I actually have had to buy for you.
You got me a box.
Because for whatever reason, none of the grocery stores here in Green Bay sell it, but the grocery store in Sturgeon Bay does.
Yes.
So every now and then I have to pick him up a box of Alphabits and bring it.
And I love you for it. I really Alphabits do. Alphabits are yummy.
Especially with the marshmallows.
No, I'm not a marshmallow fan.
I love the Fruit Loops with marshmallows, the ones that they put out at Halloween every year. Again, they only do it at Halloween. Oh my God, I love those.
Nope.
You wouldn't think marshmallows would add so much to Fruit Loops, which are already great.
Marshmallows belong in one cereal.
Not Lucky Charms.
Yep.
No.
Yes.
No, because at least with me with Lucky Charms, I just eat around the cereal pieces, and all I eat is the marshmallows.
No.
It's like, you know, I got to quote Bart Simpson here. Damn FDA, why can't it be all marshmallows?
Nope. I love Lucky Charms, just cereal and marshmallows and all. They used to serve that at my college, at the big community dining center for all the dorms.
You know what one was actually really good, although it was with marshmallows, so you may not have liked it? Real Ghostbusters cereal. I remember that from about, let's see, I was just about to start high school, so probably 88, 89.
Yeah, I don't think I ever.
I remember buying a whole bunch of Real Ghostbusters cereal, and remember that was really actually good. Because usually a lot of those specialty ones where they're based on a cartoon or a real person or something like Urkelos, it's just repackaged or just old unsold cereals from before.
Right.
Because I remember C-3PO's were fucking god awful.
They really were bad.
They were all branny and rough.
Now, there is a cereal that I do love, and it's an adult cereal. I can tell I'm getting older because I happen to really like this stuff.
Which is?
Cracklin' Oat Bran.
Mine would be, and again,
Honey Bunches of Oats. That's good too.
I hate the flakes. Honey Nut Clusters. The Nut Clusters are so amazing.
Yeah, the Honey Bunches of Oats or whatever.
No, they're called Honey Nut Clusters.
Oh, really?
That's the brand. Oh. It's the one that shows the old commercials from a few years ago where like the squirrels had like Robotech mechs that were trying to take them from the dude and stuff. And, you know, and then I'm one of those ones that I just eat cereal dry. I mean, like, just last night when I was watching Sons of Anarchy, I'm sitting here with just a box of Frosted Flakes, just eating right out of the box. Just like you would like potato chips.
My favorite snack, my favorite cereal dry, I've got two of them.
Which is?
Honey Nut Cheerios.
See, I like Honey Nut Cheerios a lot, but I need milk with those.
No, I love them dry. And Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams
are...
Oh,
I love Golden
Grahams. Golden Grahams are much better dry because those are the definition of sog. I mean, Golden Grahams sog like within the first 20 seconds of them hitting milk. You just... Whoop,
no,
they have no sealant on them at all.
No, they don't. No, but actually, Cheez-It crackers in milk. Now, that's the definition of sog. It's also terrible. Don't ask. Let's move on. So,
is that a worse idea than the time I decided to make a potato chip malt?
Yes.
It did not work out as well as it seemed to in my head when I was 10, okay? It seemed like a good idea at the time, Scott.
Yeah, I know.
I like potato chips. I'm making a malt. Well, these things go together. No, they don't.
You know what's really weird, though, is that's almost on a similar line, almost, not quite, but one of the flavors that's kind of popped up here recently is salted caramel.
I don't think I've seen that.
Really? I've seen salted caramel ice cream. I've seen salted caramel mochas.
Real salt
at Starbucks.
Or that sea salt shit that's everywhere?
Sea salt is real salt. Salt is salt.
But you know what I mean. That everything is now sea salt. It doesn't say salt anymore.
Well, yeah. It depends, technically
a difference.
It depends. Well, yeah. Your table salt is a processed, iodized salt. Sea salt is salt in more. It's a more raw form.
So that's why I'm saying. But everything seems to be sea salt now.
But nonetheless, but it's because some people, for some reason, believe that sea salt is better for you. And yeah, you can find evidence on the net that it is, but
and that it's not.
You can find real evidence with scientists and stuff that go, no, it's not.
It's
actually
the same thing with, like, you know, eggs. Eggs are high in cholesterol, except for the scientists that say eggs are low in cholesterol.
Exactly.
And, you know, just come to a fucking consensus.
Yeah, or coffee. You know, it seems like everything. Red wine is good for you. Red wine is bad for you. Coffee is good for you. Well, coffee is bad for you.
All right, now maybe you're going to shit on me for this, for not having wide tastes or anything.
I don't want to stain the carpet.
But what is it about all these foods now that just the normal, and when I say normal, I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I mean normal in what we had growing up is now considered old hat, like pancakes. You go to a restaurant now, and just regular buttermilk pancakes are kind of that thing nobody orders. Everyone's got to get blueberry pancakes and chocolate pancakes and strawberry pancakes. And what happened to just pancakes with butter and syrup? I actually had a friend of ours, Eben Hemlock from Channel 26, when I ordered pancakes once when we went out to dinner. You know, hey, you can have pancakes for dinner.
Yeah, you can.
And he's like, why don't you just eat the napkin if you're not going to get anything with flavor? What the fuck is wrong with just getting pancakes? Normal buttermilk pancakes.
I don't know. And
am I like non-adventurous for just wanting a pancake?
No, it's not that at all. It really isn't because you know me, new food comes along. I'm like, I must have that. That show with Andrew Zimmern, The Bizarre Foods, a lot of people look at that and go, ew, gross.
And
I look
go,
at it.
Sure, why not?
And I go, I want to taste that. I want it sautéed goat testicle. Put it in my mouth. I want to chew on goat testicle. Suck it down. Mmm. There's your audio to isolate for this episode. but nonetheless,
don't challenge them.
I see. But I see this stuff and I want to try it. And I have to admit, I'm a purist when it comes to pancakes and waffles. I want butter.
I
want maple syrup and a fork. I'm not one for fruit on or in. Chocolate pancakes are way too sweet. It seems like pancakes now, they have to be some sort of dessert with them. You get the strawberries and the strawberry syrup piled on with whipped cream.
That's why I'm asking, Was I wrong to just want a fucking pancake and not wanting to get something special? I mean, you know, everyone was looking at me like I was this weirdo that, you know, never wants to try anything new because I just wanted a pancake.
No, and it's I when it comes to adventures and pancakes, like I said, I think that
it's like a cartoon.
Adventures and pancakes coming up next, right after hot dog and Sambo. I think adventures in pancakes need to take a different direction because they have veered off of the breakfast trail into the super sweet. It seems like now pancakes have to all be super sweet with this fruit and chocolate and whipped cream and everything. No. Hang on. Okay. Let me finish. I think that pancakes now need to take a different trek, and I think they need to go into the savory side. I want bacon pancakes, which I think would be really, really good. I know you're not a fan of bacon at all, but I think bacon or back bacon, thank you, Canadians, I love you, back bacon pancakes would be good. I think wheat pancakes would be very interesting. Potato pancakes would be fascinating.
My wife loves potato pancakes.
Yeah, potato pancakes are nummy. If you want to take it sweet and savory at the same time, try a salted caramel pancake.
Well, but then you also have this. Sometimes you just want a bowl of rice with butter on it or a buttered noodles. You don't need all this extra stuff. Sometimes you just kind of go, you know what? Noodles with the drowning in butter. It just sounds good.
Butter noodles are good.
And then people go, well, you got to put the seasoning. And no, I just want buttered noodles. Why is that so difficult? Why am I the weirdo for wanting that?
It's not that you're the weirdo for wanting that. It's the fact that you want the same thing every time.
I like what I like.
I know. And that's Josh, is what sets you apart. It's not that you like these things. I mean, buttered noodles are good. Cheese pizza is really good. What is it you order at Fazoli's?
I always get the fettuccine Alfredo.
It's good stuff. I like fettuccine Alfredo. But you always get the same meal. To the point that we walked in last week and the guy's like, you want the fettuccine Alfredo? You want the number 8, right? And both of us are just like, yeah. And I kind of felt bad because I don't want to.
You don't want to be predictable.
Yeah, I like the variety. So that's where your fault lies. It's not that you like what you like. I can respect that. You like some good stuff. But it's the fact that you get it the same thing every time. And you saw how I made my ramen. I make my ramen noodles different than everybody else.
You don't break it up. You fucking cooked it in a big clump. I hate that.
You got to break
the ramen into little bits.
Nope, you keep the ramen as one noodle as much as humanly possible, and you add a crap load of sriracha, a little soy sauce, and then really, even though these were oriental flavored, which if chicken flavored is flavored with chicken and beef flavored is flavored with beef, what is oriental flavored?
Why is China overpopulated still?
Yeah, that's a good point. But anyway, I really like the Mirch, whatever the hell ramen company it is. They have picante chicken and picante beef now. So it's their spicy stuff on top of that sriracha, which is just a mouthful of fiery goodness.
Well, and then see, that brings me to my next thing, not really changing the topic much. Variety. I think there's too much variety in foods when you go to the grocery store now. I remember going grocery shopping with my mom, even when I was in high school. Let's just say frozen pizza. You've got cheese, you've got sausage, you've got pepperoni, you've got supreme, and maybe you've got like mushroom.
Or maybe on a good day, a veggie of some sort. Yeah.
And now there's 90 different varieties, and it's like, really? Really? There are this many different tastes? You can't just, hey, I want a sausage pizza. Hey, I want a pepperoni pizza. It's got to be, I want a pepperoni pizza with mushrooms and feta cheese. And it's like, really? Really?
But no, you go to where the Roma pizzas are and you pick out the ones you like, which are the ones I grew up with. Jack's Natural Rising is good too. But hang on. I think I'm going to rebut your point. I think this choice is good. I do agree that just the nature of humans, too much choice can overwhelm us at time, which is why I hate grocery shopping without a very specific list. But nonetheless,
you should never go grocery shopping with my wife. Then it's walk down every aisle and just see what you want.
Nope.
I'm the same way. I go in, I know what I want. That's it. In and out, 5 minutes.
Yeah, I do all my shopping online beforehand. I research all the foods. I research the ingredients I'll need to make what I want, because every once in a while I get a wild bug up my butt and go on a big cooking fest. Speaking of which, we're having one in a couple of weeks here. If you guys aren't doing anything, you're welcome to come by. But nonetheless, But yeah, I think this variety is good. I think too much choice can be a little overwhelming. But I got no problem if somebody wants to drive a pink minivan. I think pink minivans should be available. I would never drive a pink minivan, but they're out there, and I don't mind.
But then it also comes down to, at the same time there's too much variety, they've simplified some of the foods in a way that makes it more difficult. For instance, my wife loves Tombstone Pizza.
Okay.
She hates Parmesan cheese. Just she likes pizza. She likes spaghetti and all that. She's just never been a Parmesan cheese person.
Okay.
So it used to be, and I actually looked this up, it used to be Tombstone Pizza was made with just pizza sauce for
right,
their sauce.
Right, right.
And, you know, you could put Parmesan cheese on it if you wanted.
Sure.
Now they mix Parmesan cheese into the sauce. So now she can't eat Tombstone Pizza anymore because it tastes like Parmesan cheese. Why do they have to say, everyone loves Parmesan cheese, we'll just mix it into the sauce? We're taking out the choice of whether you don't like it.
Josh, I have an answer to that. Test audiences.
That's where it comes from, is market
research. That doesn't mean that your wife is wrong. That just means that she's in the minority.
But then what was so different than include a Parmesan cheese packet that lets you put Parmesan cheese in it if you want? Why do mix it in with the sauce?
Because including that packet actually costs more money than mixing it in with the huge batch of sauce.
But does it counterbalance the people like my wife who will no longer buy your brand?
No, not really. I mean, like I said, people like your wife are in the minority. She can buy another brand. Yeah, Tombstone loses a little bit of business, but compared to the business it gains, plus the savings as opposed to putting a little packet of Parmesan cheese in there, there you go.
Now, here's one where I'm not going to bitch. People often say there are too many different kinds. Let's just take Kraft macaroni and cheese, for instance.
Okay, okay.
There are too many, you know, you got all these different shapes and all this, and everyone's like, it's all the same fucking thing. Who cares if it's in the shape of a clown or a dinosaur or a spiral?
It's not.
Right. The shape of the noodles absorb water differently. They taste different. A clown-shaped macaroni noodle in the same temperature of water for the same duration will taste different than a dinosaur-shaped noodle.
You're half right. It's not that they actually taste different. It's that there's a different texture and what's called a mouthfeel. It's a very different mouthfeel, which affects the way it tastes.
It still tastes different.
And
You're hitting semantics with that.
I am because I'm picky when it comes to food. But the reason that they taste different to me is the cheese flavoring comes from different manufacturing plants. There's like three in the U.S. Kraft and their regular macaroni uses one big one for them because they put out the regular macaroni noodles in such high bulk that it pays to have the cheese factory right there next to it. And they just mix them together, throw them in a box, and off they go. That's how much volume it does. The special shaped, the noodles are made at one factory and the cheese is made at another. And they actually come together in a packaging plant. And because you get noodles that are made at different companies mixed with cheese that's made at another company that are packaged at another company, you pick up different tastes. You pick up different tastes in the air. You pick up different tastes in the ingredients of the cheese. You know, depending on what the cows eat, and people are going, it's instant cheese. There's not real cheese in there. Yeah, there is.
It comes from
such different sources that it really affects the way it tastes. And people have done this. My friend Greg and I did this in high school as an experiment. We took the regular noodles and we made one batch of macaroni and cheese with the cheese that came with the noodles, and we made another batch that came with the cheese that came with a pack of special shaped noodles, still Kraft brand. So we didn't change brands or anything like that. We didn't change noodles. We just changed the cheese packet that's supposed to be the same. It's not. We could tell the difference. And for those wondering, well, you could tell the difference because you made the batches. Nope, we had Greg's mom do it, and she didn't tell us which was which.
Well, see, like, you know, the thing with my wife is she just likes to make regular macaroni, and she can't stand the spirals. I prefer the spirals because it tastes different to
me. Yes. Yeah,
the spiral macaroni tastes different than macaroni.
Yep.
That's just me.
I agree. I like both, but But yeah, the spirals do taste different.
Now, on the other hand, you have the store brand stuff. Okay, I'm not trying to just be generalized, but I've found, with the exception of cereals, store brand usually sucks.
I'm just the opposite.
To me, like the Malto meal cereals, the cheap-ass bags, the Frosted Flakes have so much more sugar on them, the regular Frosted Flakes.
That's why I hate them.
And I love them. The Fruit Loops, the Malto meal Fruit Rings, have so much more sugar in them than the regular Kellogg's or whatever brand does real Fruit Loops.
Is it Post?
I can't remember what company does it, but
or is it General Mills? I don't know. Anyway, now I'm just the opposite. Most of the, like when it comes to canned soup, I don't care if it's store brand or Campbell's. They taste the same to me.
Well, every now and then you run across one. I don't know if a lot of our listeners know of Roundy's, the corporation.
Roundy's stuff is awful.
Except they're. And I thought I was totally on board with you, and you're not going to believe me when I say this.
Okay.
They're cheap little 29-cent microwave personal pizzas. If you don't put them in a microwave and you cook them in the oven, are fucking great, and they shouldn't be. They're 30 cents for a pizza.
Okay, I'll give it a try. But
and I tried one in a microwave and was like, eh. And then I'm like, hey, it's got oven directions. Okay. And I tried it, and I'm like, holy shit, does this make a difference?
Okay, here's a hint, because I know that we've got some listeners in college. We've got some listeners in high school. Here's a hint for real life. Everything cooked in a conventional oven tastes better than anything cooked in a microwave.
Oh, absolutely. I use the microwave for popcorn and heating up water. That's about it.
I don't even use it for popcorn. I use it to melt butter in order to put melted butter in the stuff I'm making in my conventional oven. And guys listening to this show, if you learn to cook and if you are able to create a good meal, even if you just learn to cook one thing really, really well, you will impress the ladies for the rest of your life.
Let me put this as crassly as possible. If you give her something to eat, she'll give you something to eat.
Oh, wow. That was crass.
I told you. Let me put it as crassly as I can.
That was crass. But, okay.
But am I wrong in the point I was making?
Can you tell we haven't had dinner?
This show turned into a fucking food show after we ranted about World War Z and shit. It's all about fucking food. I'm starving.
I know. But you know what one of my favorite cereal memories is? Curling up in front of the big tube TV with the blankie my grandma made for me and my dry cereal on Saturday morning and plopping down and watching Saturday Supercade. Yeah, hours of cartoons.
Okay, I do have one more cereal complaint. I love the cereal, but my mouth just can't handle it.
Cap'n Crunch.
Actually, Crunch Berries. Why don't you just take a piece of sandpaper and take the top layer of skin off my mouth?
Okay.
I mean, I love them, but they're like eating sand. After you're done, you just kind of touch the roof of your mouth and you go, ow, ow, ow.
See, I'm not one for Crunch Berries, but Cap'n Crunch does the same thing
peanut
to me.
Peanut Butter Crunch, too. Oh, I love peanut butter crunch.
You can keep your peanut butter cereals and blow them out your nose for
peanut butter crunch, so fucking good. There was an episode of It Came From Beyond Midnight where in the movie, John Lydon of the Sex Pistols is being fed out of a dog bowl.
Okay.
So Joe and I, for our segment, we were eating Reese's Peanut Butter Crunch cereal out of dog bowls in the host segments. So it just looked like we were eating dog food. Yeah. And we just kept doing that. We were like, shit, this is fucking good. Just nom, 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 nom.
See, I'm not one for peanut butter cereals.
See, here's my thing. I don't like peanut butter, but I love peanut butter cereals. How the fuck does that work?
I love peanut butter.
Yeah, it's...
Especially homemade.
We're weird like that.
I know. And there used to be a place that I visited. I think it was in San Francisco when we were visiting out there. But it was at the wharf, and they were actually roasting peanuts and then making peanut butter right there at this little shop. Oh, it was all kinds of yum.
Well, in our last minute, I want to ask our listeners, what cereal will turn my pee blue? I want to know. And it's got to be a cereal, not another food. I need you guys to try and research for me, and I will do the experiment to see how many boxes such and such cereal needs to turn my pee blue.
I can give you an additive. I don't have a cereal.
No, I want a cereal that I can just keep eating that turns my pee blue without turning my poop green. That's the challenge. I don't want green poop.
That's going to be challenging.
That so, good. Okay. Go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code STATIC. Go to 1201beyond.com. If you're going to go to Amazon and blah, 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 Christmas is coming up. Buy some fuckers some shit. And
we get a little cut from it if you go through our links. We much appreciate that.
And buy a dildo for grandma. She'll think it's funny.
I don't know about that.
Okay, we'll think it's funny.
Yes. Yes. Send us pictures. especially of her face when she opens it up. That would be just incredibly...
I'm not sure the emergency room lets you take pictures.
Nonetheless, Canada Rocks, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next week.